What would it take for you to thrive? What do you need to really live a full life? And not just live it, but keep on living it. What does it take for you to really live? The answer might surprise you. John Ortberg, he describes this diagnosis that happens with infants. It's called a failure to thrive. It's sometimes given when a young baby is unable to gain weight, the baby doesn't grow, and for reasons that no one really understands for sure, sometimes maybe the infant's metabolism is off, or they just have this lack of vital drive to flourish. You know, whatever it is, it's called a failure to thrive. And this is actually a human condition. You know, Jesus came to reverse this failure to thrive that human beings have and to give us this abundant life now and forever. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life. And he says, and have it to the full, right? Say full.
Full.
Full, a thriving life. Is that what you want?
Yes.
Do you want a life that is thriving? Ortberg writes, thrive is a word full of shalom, this idea of God's well-being. Thriving is what life is intended to do. You know, like a flower stubbornly pushing through a crack in a sidewalk. You know, I would probably say like the stubborn dandelion in my yard that is completely green when the rest of the yard is dry and dying, right? John goes on to say, thriving is what God saw when he made life, and then he saw that it was good. And thrive was the first command, be fruitful and multiply, right? Thrive. So is your life full like that? Are you thriving? And not just in activity or busyness. You know, we all have that. Is your life rewarding? Is it life-giving? Ask yourself right now, am I thriving in life? So what will it take to make you thrive? Well, it takes more and more. It's the theme of today's message. It's going to be our takeaway later on, this idea of more and more. The Apostle Paul, he urges, as for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. Say that with me, more and more. I was at a graduation party this past weekend, the last one that I'm attending this year, and they served creamy macaroni salad. I love creamy macaroni salad. You know what I mean? Oh, it's just so good. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, and I took this whole big scoop on my plate, a few other things, and then I went back and scooped some more on. And then I ate the whole thing. And after I had done that, I thought, that was really good. And I went back in line, got another plate, and filled it up with creamy macaroni one more time. I was thinking about Paul's command. You know, when I saw all that deliciousness, I was thinking, more and more, right? So I know that you have things that you want more and more of as well. Are you thinking about that? What would you like more of? You know, there's a lot of things in life like creamy macaroni salad that we want, but they're not going to necessarily lead to a thriving life. They might lead to a thriving waistline, but not a life. So there are some things that don't lead to thriving, but there are some things that will. The Apostle Paul said, it's the God-pleasing things that lead to thriving. Things that God tells us please him. Things that allow us to live this full and abundant life. And he encourages the Thessalonians, who this letter is written to, that they're already doing those things. And he says, good job, way to go. You're doing things that'll cause you to thrive. He says, keep doing that good work. And as a follower of Jesus, you are already doing things that are God-pleasing. And I want to tell you, keep up the good work. Good job. As a follower of Jesus, you are doing some thriving. Now, if you're really looking for that life that is thriving all the more, one that is full of all the promises of life that God gives, then here's the way to have it. Here's that next step. Keep doing the things that please God and do them more and more. Say more and more.
More and more.
Now, for some of you, you're like, that's it? Just more and more? And the answer is actually yes. right? It's to do the things that God has called us to do, probably things that you're already doing, and do them more and more if you want to live the thriving life. Now, if you're fairly new to being a Christian, then I want to encourage you that following Jesus is going to help you grow and help you experience the life that you want. I truly believe that. And if you're just checking this out, you're not really sure yet if following Jesus is what you want to do, well, I want to encourage you that Jesus will lead you to the fullest life that you can possibly have. Jesus is the way. He said, "I am the life." Now, if you are those who have been following Jesus for a while, or maybe for a long time, then I want to encourage you. It's been my experience that we can get into a pattern of living a comfortable Christian life, a comfortable life as a Christian. And I'm not opposed to comfort, right? I enjoy my lazy boy chair. I really do. But you might want to ask yourself, I need to ask myself, is comfort the abundant life that I'm really seeking? Or is there more? You know, you've probably done, if you're this follower of Jesus, you've probably done a lot of things that a Christ follower should do, that the Bible says you should do. And it might feel like, you know, there's not a whole lot more that I can experience. Maybe you're wondering a little bit, you know, is this all there is? Is this it? It's like, what's next? What's new? You know, in that walk with Christ, I'm going to warn you, there are distractions. There are things that will pull us or try to pull us away. There's a little less passion from time to time. You know, sometimes we're hot. Honestly, sometimes we're cold. Sometimes we're in between. You know, sometimes it feels like it's just not what it used to be, or maybe the church isn't what it used to be. And the easiest thing to do in those cases is just kind of coast along, you know, kind of ride it out, hoping that the good life will somehow continue, not fade, or at least not fade too much. So if you feel like any of this is happening in your own life, I think the Holy Spirit wants to encourage you today, challenge you today. So as we read this letter, it's clear that the Apostle Paul sees the Christian life as a walk, right? It's a journey. It's an ongoing way. It's not finished on this side of eternity. There's no retirement from the Christian life. So the ultimate goal of pleasing God includes this continual improvement, this continual growing in the things that please God. And Paul urges the followers, his readers, to do those things more and more. The question is, do what more and more? Well, here it is. Do the basics more and more. Do them repetitively more and more. Find new ways of doing the old things more and more. And do the first things we did. And then when you were done with all that, then just keep on doing them and doing them again and again and again. That is actually the way to a thriving Christian life. And the truth is, you're not perfect. But I include myself in that. I'm not perfect either. You know, we're not perfect. There is room for growth, and that growth is called sanctification. Paul talks about it in his letters, this process of being made into the image of Christ. And it happens as we practice this life over and over again. It's a lifelong journey, and we are called to be more and more like Jesus. Paul writes, "You know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified." So here's the encouragement. No matter where you are in life, no matter how long you've been doing this, new or just beginning, God is still working on you. That's right. God is still working on you. And I want you to encourage each other today and turn to someone beside you and just say, "God is still working on you." If you're online, you can write that in the comment. God is still working on you. And then, you know, here's the flip side of that, right? Turn to that same person and tell them, "God's still working on me."
Thank you, Jesus.
And if we're honest, God has some work to do, right? God's working on me. God is still leading you into that full life that he has promised. God is working on you. And God does it in you while you continue to keep on doing the good things that God has called you to do. Now, We have some exciting things coming up here, but I'm going to move fast here in a moment. There's a part of this letter that I don't want to skip over because I think this is really important to the being who God has called us to be and to living the full life. So I want you to listen carefully, and otherwise you're going to wonder, you know, what just happened, and then you're going to have all kinds of questions that I'm not going to be able to answer in this message. So, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you listening? All right. Paul writes, "For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus." So this is God's command. "It is God's will that you should be sanctified." Say sanctified.
Sanctified.
"That you should avoid sexual immorality." You know, an abundant life, a full life, is a life lived the way God created you and I to live, and that includes in our human sexuality. So I want to put this into context here in this letter. That Paul's writing to a church that, you know, before hearing the gospel, you know, they're called a Gentile church, not a Jewish church, they were unfamiliar with this whole idea of a Christian ethic and of sexuality or a Judeo-Christian ethic. And this teaching was all new to them. So as they're trying to put this into practice, they're you know, coming against a culture that is totally different. They're trying to avoid something that was completely normal everywhere else in the culture. And it wasn't easy. I get that, right? I get that. We all have desires. We all have feelings. We all have pressures and temptations that are contrary to what pleases God. That's the human condition. You know, so we wonder, does it really matter? This whole idea of purity or sexual ethic. God says it does. God says, be holy. This is who I've called you to be. This is what it means to live into that abundant life, to live the fullness of all that God has for you. And we cannot experience it without being sanctified. So he commands us, avoid sexual immorality. Be on your guard. Take action. Your thriving is at stake. God wants you to be free and pure because God loves you. Now we take an abrupt shift again. Now about your love for one another. So this is tied back. It includes our love for one another, but now we're moving forward. About your love for one another. Church, keep up the good work. You're doing it. Keep it up. We have a great opportunity today to have a guest with us who's going to come and encourage us in what it means to love one another. So many of you in our community know this person. She has been both an example to many of us, including me, as well as for me, an inspiration of what it means to personally love others. And her name is Connie Benson. So Connie, I want to invite you to come and join us up here today. If you want to welcome her, give her a round of applause. And as you come up, Connie, I want to read two verses that remind me, I think, of loving more and more that is exemplified in your life. So those verses, you can go ahead and sit down if you'd like to. Those verses come from 1 Thessalonians 4, 9, and 10. "We do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. And in fact, you do love all of God's family through Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more." And then again in chapter 5, verse 15, "Always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else." Connie, I think that is, those are verses that really speak about your life.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for asking.
You're welcome. We have some history and some common background.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. I was, you know, you come from Sundberg, I come from Murdoch, little towns out.
He's Irish, I'm Norwegian.
Yeah, well, there we go. Yes, and so what is our common background from back home?
Well, my husband, David, was from Murdoch. And when his father was diagnosed with cancer and was told that he had 6 months to live, Jack Shackleton, Tim's father, said, "Ray, come and work for me." He worked for Ray for 9 years, 9 good years. And he felt God was helped with him the whole way through. And Grandma Selma was the best donut maker in Swift County, I believe.
Absolutely. I believe it too.
And she would bring donuts out to the Shackleton family. And the very first thing that Pastor Tim asked me when he came to Wheaton was, "Do you make donuts?" Not a gift I have.
Yeah, Selma's donuts didn't last long at the Shackleton house.
No, but the interesting thing about this whole thing is I have very close friends that live in New London and went to the church, the Covenant Church that Pastor Tim and Cheryl did their internship mm-hmm. at. And I was down visiting them, and we went into the mercantile, and Cheryl was working in the mercantile, correct, Cheryl? And we started talking, and she said, "Well, Pastor Tim just finished his internship, so we are looking for a place to go." Well, I was friends with Clarice and with Connie Burley, and I said, "They're looking for a pastor at the Covenant Church in Wheaton." "Really?" And I said, "Yeah, my friends are on the call committee." It wasn't too many months later, and Pastor Tim and Cheryl were here. So God works in very many good ways.
Yeah, so thank you, even though you don't make donuts. I appreciate it.
Oh, that's never going to happen.
All right. Well, Connie, I talked about you being an encouragement to so many, to myself, and also an inspiration. And one of the ways that you have done that over many years was that you have taught ESL, English as a Second Language, here in Wheaton. And one of your former students, Iris Horman, she was with you, and she said that when they began, she couldn't speak English. She said, "You didn't speak Spanish, but somehow she learned the language." So how does that happen, Connie?
Where's Iris? Well, communication with each other. And I think Iris and many of the Spanish-speaking people just learn through sign language and demonstration and just about standing on your head at some times and just communicating, looking each other straight in the face, saying the words, demonstrating what they mean, a lot of repetition, and also a very, very strong desire to learn the language. And that's very, very important.
Yeah, and I'd probably add something that you didn't say here is in doing all of that with love.
Yes,
you seem
with
to
a lot of love.
That, Connie.
It was pretty easy to love Iris and Tony and Olivia.
So Iris said that one of the things that she remembers is you made her feel like she belonged. Why is that a priority? Why did you make that a priority, that she would feel like she belongs?
I think belonging and feeling like you belong has always been a very, very important part of my life. I had a young man in my confirmation class who was very challenged. And my mother inspired me every day. She said, "You are not any better than anybody else. God made us all equal. We're all equal. We're all on the same level. If I ever hear you do anything wrong to," his name was Cedric, mm-hmm. "Cedric, or anybody else, you will know." Yeah. And I knew that. But it's a very, very strong lesson. And when I would see kids in school and maybe somebody sitting by themselves at a table, I would go and ask somebody else, go and sit with them. Mm-hmm. Nobody should be left out. Mm-hmm. And that's what I wanted Iris and her family and any other kids in the school to know. matter who you are, no matter what you have, no matter what you're wearing, in God's sight, we're all equal, and we should be treated that way.
Thank you. You know, that stuck. Iris has done that in her life and ministry. She has helped other people feel like they belong. And so why do you feel, Connie, that that's such an important quality for the church?
Jesus treats us all equal.
I don't know if you heard that. Jesus treats us all equal.
In God's sight, we're all equal, and that's the way it should be.
Thank you. So recently, you took another big step of loving more and more, and I invite you, you opened up not just your life, but your home as well. Do you want to share about that?
Is it okay, Andrew? Well, Andrew Walker and the Bainbridges. Dylan brought Andrew to church for our pre-confirmation class that Evie Rinke and I taught. And the hood up. No, that's not true. But Andrew came. There was food. There was got to be a bond between us some way. Then Heather Bainbridge, when Andrew was going to be confirmed, said, would you be his mentor? I'd be happy to be his mentor. Well, I think the second time he was there, I think he said to me, you know, I could come and have lunch with you at noon. I said, well, don't you have lunch in school? Yeah, but I could come and have lunch with you. So he started coming at noon, having lunch. That was his sophomore
year. In your home?
In my home. Mm-hmm. That was his sophomore year. And a bond and bond grew more and more. Learned to really like each other, learned to have conversation. I mean, I better speak for myself. I learned to really like him and love him. And then the summer before his junior year, it was early June, June 6th to be exact, I was going down to the cities to my grandson's graduation, and I said to Andrew, I will let you, you know, come in and have food. So there's always food for you. When I came back from the cities, Andrew said, I had no place to sleep. So I stayed here. And I said, that's fine. That's just fine. And he never left, which was awesome. It's been a family thing with Sean and Heather and Dylan and Drew. Could never have done it without the love of all of us together and Andrew. Mm-hmm. I can't thank the Bainbridges enough. They let me be the grandma, provide the home, wash the clothes, and just enjoy, be the grandma. And we've had a good journey, and hopefully it will continue. Mm-hmm. I think Andrew kind of summed it up, that he said, you know, sometimes you drive me crazy. And patted me on the head and said, but we're a good team.
Yeah.
And God has been with us through this whole journey and will continue to be with us. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We feel very, and I think both of us feel very blessed. He helped me through a very difficult time in my life when my husband passed away. Mm-hmm. And hopefully I've helped him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Connie.
It's definitely been a journey that has been, that God has been involved in. Mm-hmm. Beyond a doubt. If I ever doubted that, there'd be something wrong with me.
I appreciate how you describe this as a mutual love for one another. And
hopefully,
that's so
yes.
often the case.
Andrew's here, he can speak for himself.
Well, I appreciate that. I asked you if I could ask you this earlier. You said yes. How old are you, Connie?
I turned 82 last week.
82. So Paul said that the Thessalonians in the church, they were doing what they should do. And, he didn't say, all right, now you're 82 years old. You've done a good job. You can, chill out, good enough. Instead, what did he say? He said, do it more and more. So I think as a follower of Jesus, you are demonstrating that to all of us. You know, how you just continue to do those things that God calls you to ways that you can love others more and more. And so as you're doing that, how do you determine what's the right amount of doing good?
Is there a right amount? There are so many ways to do good. Mm-hmm. Be yourself and love people. Serve people, help people. Be a good neighbor. I mean, you read your Bible every day. I think it tells you every day to love one another and be a good neighbor. Mm-hmm. So we should never quit.
That's right.
Should we? I mean, you don't. I'm not taking another person in. Hopefully, he's never leaving. Well, he'll go to college, but
yeah.
There's so many different ways to serve.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Connie. Mm-hmm. Kind of as we wrap up here, all of this. How has this affected your walk with Jesus? You know, your life of loving others and doing so more and more. You know, you and Dave are partners in that all those years. How has walking with Jesus in this way affected you?
It's been a gift. It's been a gift. It's been a challenge. It has needed God with me the whole way, and it has strengthened my faith. Every day should strengthen our faith. It has taught me to be humble and kind. Even Jesus has never left my home. And he never will. Guide us the whole way.
Appreciate that. Thank you. So as we close, I want to thank God for you, Connie. Thank you for the encouragement that you've given us.
Thank God for you also.
given us today and inspired us. And can I pray for you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Please do.
All right. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for Connie. Thank you for her heart and her love and how you have demonstrated love through her to so many over the years. We thank you for the blessings that she has received. I think, Lord, the example of a full and abundant life and what that means in the kingdom. And Lord, the hope that we have for that to continue, not just now in this life, but for all eternity, Lord. So I pray that you continue to bless Connie and demonstrate your love through her. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming up.
Thank you for asking.
Thank you, Bill. That's your stuff. Thank you, Sean. I think this idea of more and more, it's actually the potential we have as followers of Jesus, you know, in this Christian life. You know, we follow this example of infinite love. We're being made into the image of Christ, you know, more and more. So, you know, we continue that throughout this whole journey. Jesus said, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And so Connie will tell us that it is because of his love, Jesus' love for her, that she is able to demonstrate that love to each one of us. And what motivates Connie, and she had shared this earlier, is that her desire is that others will know Jesus and know his love as well and put their trust in him. And Jesus gives this thriving life, and Connie desires that for you. So let's go back to that original question and ask yourself, am I thriving in life? Am I thriving in my life right now? And if there's room for improvement, then ask yourself today, is the Holy Spirit urging me to return to that vibrant walk with Jesus by loving others and doing it more and more in my own life? Maybe you've gotten comfortable in your walk. That's nice, right? Comfortable is good. But you don't want comfortable anymore. You want thriving. You want a life of fullness. And if that's you, then I hope you're encouraged by Connie's witness today, that no matter whatever age or stage you are in your life, you can receive more and more as you take that step to demonstrate God's love to those who are left out and those who are hurting and those who are lonely, those who are lost, those who are not experiencing the shalom of God and the thriving life that God intends, you know, stepping in and becoming the love of Christ to that person. So if you're ready to thrive, which I believe you are, the answer is love. The answer is love. And doing it more and more. That's when life begins to thrive. If that's you today, if you're wanting to take that next step, then I want to pray for you. And I invite you to bow your head as we simply invite Jesus. Jesus says, ask and you will receive. We invite God's thriving life into your life. Father, thank you for the love that you have for us. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus. Thank you for the love that you have demonstrated to us through him. And Lord, thank you for this encouragement today, not just of Connie, but Lord, of your son who loves us. And Lord, that invitation to love others as you have loved us. So Lord, I pray that each person here today will thrive. Lord, thrive in loving you more and more and loving others more and more. And keep on loving others. Lord, we ask this, that you empower us and make us holy and whole. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we have guests online today too, or maybe you're here today and you haven't actually taken that step into faith in Jesus or walking with him. You might be curious about it. You may have been part of that. But it all begins, this thriving life begins with a relationship with Jesus. So maybe you've been invited here by someone who knows God's love and has demonstrated that in your life, and maybe you're sensing that you want what they have. It comes as we put our faith in Jesus, as we trust in him. We begin to discover what it means to truly love as Christ has loved us. You know, Jesus demonstrated that 2,000 years ago when he gave his body, sacrificed on the cross so that we might be forgiven. He gave his sinless life to forgive us of our sin and the sin of the world. So he willingly gave his perfect life and died on the cross. And he went to the grave for 3 days. And he defeated death. And on that third day, life rose again. He came out of the tomb alive, and he invites all who trust in him to walk out of that tomb as well and to begin to live the resurrection life, even now and for all eternity. So Jesus wants us to experience thriving in the family of God by trusting in Him. So if you've never put your trust in Jesus, if you have never taken that step, but you are ready today, then the Bible says all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. All who call on the name of the Lord. So His invitation is today to pass from death to life, to know love, not just for you, but through you, by calling on Jesus. And if that's you, then I invite you to echo this prayer with me. Just let's close our eyes as we echo this prayer. Those who want to put their faith in Jesus today. Lord Jesus, I believe You are life and love. I am sorry for my sins. Thank You for dying for me on the cross. Lord, please fill me with Your Holy Spirit, that I may begin to know the thriving, abundant life You promise, life that is life. Thank You, Jesus. I pray. Amen.